this point, I'm like, I'll just keep on winning. I will not stop, who the hell are you kidding? I am just living out all these new feelings. I am in need of all new beginnings. All new beginnings. All these new feelings.
Yo, what's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Journey to Success podcast. My name is JJ Dirksen. We got episode 11 here. We got a really good interview with Matthew J. Phillips. Hope you guys like the new intro. That's a shout out to my buddy Brandon B. That's his new song, New Beginnings. So if you guys like that, there's going to be a link to the YouTube video for the song down in the description. But yeah, so we got an interview here with Matthew Phillips. Matthew's over in the UK and he is into personal branding and teaching people how to, one, grow and, two, monetize and form a business out of their personal brand. And he's really helped me, you know, formulate my coaching, my training business. So I wanted to have him hop on the show. We talk a lot about personal branding as well as confidence and fitness and, you know, just his journey, what he's gone through as of right now. And I think a lot of people relate to it. I related to his story quite a bit. So I know you guys are going to like it. So stick around.
Yeah, man. So just start off, give everybody a little background as to who you currently are and what you do. If somebody like doesn't really know who Matthew J. Phillips is right now.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm 17 years old and I'm from the UK. I'm from Wales. And I've got about 50K followers on Instagram. I run a coaching / I guess you could say consulting training business where I train people on personal branding, specifically on how they can turn their name into a business using their current knowledge. So, do you want to know about my background in terms of like school?
Yeah. Let's start from the beginning. Like, the beginning. What were you really like as a kid?
Okay,
really young.
So, I would say as a young kid, I was quiet, really quiet, really introverted.
Relatable.
Yeah, really introverted. So through primary, I guess you could say I was an introverted kid. But I was kind of like, you know, when you've got friendship groups in like school, college, whatever it is, and you've always got that one person in the friendship group who I guess you could say, I don't want to say leader, but kind of the one that if they do something,
you're talking about the leader.
So it's kind of like in school, you've got friendship groups, right? And you've always got that like one guy or girl who, if they do something, every other friend does the exact same thing. Like if you go buy a new pair of shoes, then guaranteed your friends are going to buy the same shoes. Right. I was kind of that kid. All right. Like I would see a nice pair of shoes and I'd buy them and then I'd come back to school the next day and everybody had bought them. So it was kind of like I'm introverted, but I'd always throughout school been, I guess you could say, the person who kind of done stuff first.
Yeah. You're like the trendsetter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I get. Yeah. Kind of. I was always, I don't want to say athletic, but I was always sporty, like martial arts, kickboxing, karate, whatever you want, a whole different things. Uh-huh. Tried a bit of football, never good at it. Tried a bit of rugby, was never good at it. You know, tried a bunch of different stuff. I was sporty, I was fast, I was that kid.
Did you want to do something with athletics for career-wise when you're little? Or
I mean, I'd always like. So my father was heavily into football, so I'd always had like as a younger kid, kind of like I want to be good at football type of thing. But I just simply had zero natural ability, like zero. So it's kind of like I like the idea, but I kind of accepted at a young age that it's never going to happen for me.
Yeah.
I kind of, you know, thought maybe I could, but I never really thought like seriously about it. Anyway, so that was pretty much throughout primary. I was that kid in terms of like personality wise, but in terms of actually academically, I was terrible. I was really bad.
Really bad.
The thing with me is school wise, I know that in a lot of subjects I could get A's, A stars, like I could probably do quite well. But I'm the type of person that, and I've all at a young age, like something. And it can be negative in business, and I'll go into that. But I was always the type of kid that was like, if I didn't like it, I wasn't doing it. So, you know, a teacher would be like, oh, you've got this piece of homework, and I'd look at it, and if I didn't like the first question, then I wasn't doing it. So that was just me in school. And yeah, that doesn't really get you good grades. Never revise, nothing. So primary, I wasn't the best. But because I had that natural ability that I was decent in certain subjects, going into secondary school, because it's different in the UK, you have like middle school, high school type of thing, right? Yeah, we have primary, then secondary school.
Yeah, and then university after that. Yeah, right?
So going into secondary school, so if you're in the US, that's high school for you.
High school,
first year in, I actually put on a lot of weight. Right, really? So I went from this tall, because right now I'm 6'3" right now. But in primary, I was really tall. So I went in, I was that tall, skinny kid. And I went into secondary school extremely, like, chubby. Just straight chubby.
Really?
Yeah. I tell people and they're like, there's no way you was chubby. But I really was.
Yeah, I couldn't think that, especially after seeing those pictures on your Instagram, like, when you were 16.
Yeah. But I was, right? And, you know, in the face, everywhere. And that was kind of like, I think the first year of secondary school was probably the worst kind of year for me. Not so much, a little bit mentally over any other year, because it was like I'd just gone into this new school and I'd gone from being this athletic, skinny, kind of trendsetter, leader type of boy to this chubbier boy with boys around me who are way bigger trendsetters, even taller boys than me, more athletic boys than me. And I kind of went down the food chain. So it was like I'm used to being at the top and now I've dropped back down to the bottom. And that was like a massive, massive hit for me. I had pretty much zero confidence. Zero.
Yeah.
And it was around the last year of primary and secondary school, I actually had asthma. I found out that I had asthma. So PE lessons, like marathons and stuff like that, I couldn't do any of them. Like I would start and like the first lap in the marathon, I'd be gassed. Like I would be the boy on the side holding my knees because I literally couldn't breathe, right? So I've gone from being this tall athletic boy to this not the tallest anymore, chubby, all right, with asthma. Can't run, can't do this, can't do that, right? Not exactly the most academic, right? So it was not a good year. And then towards the end, going into the second year, it was kind of like, you know, when you have that, I'm sure many of you listening right now have probably had the same thing, but it's kind of like something just flips in your mind and you're like, I've got to change.
Yeah, I know exactly.
It's like no build-up. Right, it's just like one day you wake up and you all of a sudden have this urge to do something.
Right. You have an epiphany, pretty much.
Like pretty much, yeah. So I was just like, boom, I'm going to lose weight. I'm just going to lose weight. If any of you are into health and fitness or are planning to go into health and fitness, then you probably have experienced or will experience this. You're like, right, I need a diet plan. I need a training plan. What am I going to do? So I'm researching. And I, you know, got this nutrition plan. I started that, failed after a week, didn't like it. New training plan, didn't like it. Stopped for 2 months, restarted. And it was this vicious cycle of starting and stopping. Because it was such a consistent vicious cycle, I ended up losing all the weight and going back, you know, to skinny again. Like, so in the second year, I was skinnier. My like jaw had leaned out. I had a better haircut. And that was the year where I kind of regained that, like, you know,
confidence.
And I was like slowly climbing back up that food chain type of thing.
Yeah.
The third year, it was the same type of thing. I was pretty much the same person. The fourth year, I was the same person. Now, the real change came for me in the fifth year. And for us, we just call it year 11. So I was 16. I'm 17 now. So this was only last year. This was the massive, massive change for me, because this was the year where everybody was doing, getting like revising. I've got to get good grades and I've got to get my A's to go to college or university, whatever it was. And like I said at the beginning in primary, I was always that boy that if I didn't like the look of it, then I wasn't doing it. I did not like the look of like sitting down for 2 hours at a time and doing exams. Did not like it. Did not want to revise, didn't want to do anything. So Yeah, I pretty much didn't do too good in any of my exams. Wasn't revising, nothing like that. But coincidentally, one of the topics I chose to take in school was business. Mm-hmm. I actually had an E in business.
Oh, so you have E's in the...
We have E's. Yeah, that's UK like really system. Bad, okay. Right? So like, you know, you have an F.
Yeah, and that's E's your equivalent?
Like, no, it's worse. it's like oh, really? Below. I think anyway, I'm pretty sure. No. I think it's like an E, then an F, and then it's underneath, then it's like worse. But you can't have worse than an F over here, right? I don't know what it was, but it was bad anyway, right? Didn't do too good. I didn't really do too good in any of my exams. I just passed the main ones with C's, like math, English, Welsh, all that. Not because I revised, just I added natural, I guess you could say, ability, and I passed them. But
yeah,
I remember... And this is, I wrote a caption on this about 2 weeks ago. But anyway, like I said, everybody was stressing about getting a job and all this. And I knew, for some reason, I just knew that I hated school. I wasn't going to stick to it. Like, I wasn't going to go to university. But I just knew that I was going to have a business. Don't know what business. I had no plans, right? Yeah. I just knew. So there was this one particular teacher, and she said to me, she was like, you going to college, university, and all this? No. Oh, so what are you going to do? You're going to work? Like, and she was like, you're going to go into like construction, like that type of thing.
Saying it in a bad way, right?
Yeah, well, it was kind of like not direct, but it did come off like as if like you're not going to come up to much type of thing, that. Right? Yeah. And I said to her, no. I was like, I'm just planning on having a business. She was like, well, what business are you going to have? I was like, I have no idea. Right? So now I get to her, she probably did think this boy's a little bit like crazy because he doesn't even know what he's going to do, but he's saying he's going to do it. I can see where she's coming from. But to me, I was dead serious. I was going to have a business. Don't know what one. Anyway, she tried saying to me like, she's like, okay, like kind of let it slide off her shoulder. And she said then everybody was talking about having their first car. Because we obviously 16, 17. And she was like, what car do you want for your first car? And I said, a Nissan GTR. Right? Now, I know this is unrealistic, right? But that's what I said. Yeah. Right? I said a Nissan.
That's exactly how I think in high school, too. I think same
exactly.
Way.
So I said, I want a Nissan GTR. And she was like, how much are they? I was like, I don't know, like maybe like, I think you can get like a secondhand one for like 90K, something like that. And, she was like, well, nobody, and this is what stuck with me. She said, nobody around her does stuff like that.
Nobody around
here. Yeah, my area, right? That's so I live in a really small little town, right, in Wales, in the UK, right? Most people think I'm like Irish or something, but I'm not. I'm Welsh, right? Yeah. And I'm from the UK, and I live in this small little town, right? So she was like, nobody from around her does stuff like that. Now, I had no reason really to believe that I could. But all I knew was there are people in LA, Cali, Dubai, driving Nissan GTRs, Lambos, Ferraris. And I was like, so I don't think people in California and, you know, Dubai and stuff are any different to me. I had no reason to believe this, but that's just what I thought. So I was like, so if they can do it, why can't I? And she's like, oh, it's just people around here do not do stuff like that. That pissed me off, like majorly pissed me off.
Yeah.
Because I was just like relatable. Thinking to myself, just like, fuck you. What are you talking about? But anyway, I let it slide. And I actually went off to think about what business I was going to do. And I thought, health and fitness, by the way, in this time, in this, you know, period of time, was my passion. Like I said, I went through that vicious cycle of start and stopping.
Was this after you put on all the muscle? Or was this while you were still really skinny?
This was while I put the muscle on. So I'll explain that part. So,
okay.
I went, like I said, I was skinny in primary, went to chubby, then I went skinny again. And then to cut to it really quickly, basically a friend asked me, you know, you should start the gym. So I did bodybuilding. I liked it. It became a passion. I got into it. And you can check on my Instagram if you want to see this. There's like a few transformation posts on there. But I went from about 6'1" at 15, at a lane of between 8 stone and 8 stone 5, to at 16, somewhere like 10-12% body fat at maybe like 12 stone-ish. And now I'm 17 and I'm 6'3" and a half and about 13 stone, like maybe like 10%, 12% body fat, something like between those ranges.
Yeah. So, yeah. And just for some context for everybody, that's like, that's going from like 115 pounds, I think, to, I don't even know, like 170, 180, even, maybe close to 200.
Yeah. I think it's about 190. Something like
that. That's crazy.
And I dropped, dropped body fat in the process. So yeah, that was, you know, that's kind of how it happened. So obviously, you know, when you make such a transformation and you go into the gym so consistently, like I was, and I mean, well, I say, when I say consistently, I mean dead consistently. Like, you,
yeah,
I mean, you're in bed Christmas Day, right? I was in the gym, all right?
Yeah,
it's your birthday, like, you're there eating your cake. I was telling my parents I can't eat cake, like, I mean, dead serious. Like, I'd be in school, people would be like, oh, you know, you're coming out to drink, you know, coming out to party, smoke a joint, let's do this. I was like, no, I'm off gym. Right, every day,
that's
6 days a week, gym, sauna, home, wake up, school, back home, I'm back home, dress, gym, sauna, back home, sleep. And I did that for pretty much 2 years consistently.
That's awesome. That's what produced the results, that consistency and the hard 100%. Work and the diligence.
And this is probably the one thing that really taught me discipline, which I still sometimes slack on, but this really did teach me, was for the first 6 months in that process, of that two-year process, for the first 6 months, I hand on heart can say, I did not eat a single chocolate bar, a single sweet, nor, like, I don't know if you call them this, but, like, do you call them, like, what do you call them in the US? Like, chips?
Are you talking about chips? Yeah, chips. You call them crisps,
crisps,
right?
That's the one. I didn't eat any of them, no cake, nothing, no Coke, no Fanta, zero, for 6 months straight. Just water, chicken, broccoli, fish, everything for 6 months.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't break it. So that really taught me discipline. So a lot of people, like, you know, I built, for those of you who don't know, my Instagram following is at 50K right now. And I've had a lot of people ask me about, like, my engagement. Like, why is your engagement dropped? Why is your likes, your comments dropped? Reason being is because I built 30K of that 50K around health and fitness. So
yeah,
if you do scroll back down my feed, you can see the health and fitness content and you can see that transformation post. But I can't really remember. Where was we going from here? What direction was I in?
Well, I wanted to go into personal branding, but I'm kind of curious in delving into talking about, like, the diligence and the confidence side of things and how that kind of transforms. Okay. So what do you think was the reason for the increase in confidence? Do you think it was maybe the results you were getting in the gym, or was it like,
if you look good, you feel good.
You look good, you feel good. That's what caused it.
Pretty much. I mean,
yeah.
You know, think of it this way, right? You wake up in the morning and you've got a bad hair day.
Yeah. You're just messing with it the entire day, right?
You leave the door and you're constantly thinking, are people looking at me? Like, you're playing with your hair, you're looking in the mirror, and you're thinking in your head, like, oh, my hair's bad, right? I need to fix it, someone give me a brush, or whatever it may be, right? You know, if you wake up and you've got the best hair day of your life, and you're looking in your mirror, and you're like, oh, my fucking God, this is sweet, right? You leave the door, and people look at you. You don't think, are they judging my hair? You think, yeah. I know he knows it's good, right?
Yeah.
It's just like,
I feel like that doesn't even have to come from just getting crazy results, like, a bunch of weight. Yeah, but it's not even just the results. It's just, you know, you go into the gym a couple times, you feel good about yourself, even if you don't notice a huge change of looks. You feel good about yourself, and you get that confidence.
You did something that you didn't do the day before.
Yeah, so and that doesn't have to just be the gym.
It doesn't have to be the gym. It could be business. It could be cooking. It could be whatever you want. Like, it's like
you'd be reading a book.
Listening
to this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this could be your first podcast you're listening to, right? So, I mean, I hope it's like a good first impression on podcasts. But I mean, this could be the first one. And, you know,
and subscribe if
exactly. Subscribe. Follow my IG at Matthew J. Phillips _.
that'll be down the description, by the way.
But yeah, I mean, it was just simply that. It was like, so with me going to the gym, it was just that, like, I was seeing results myself. I was doing something I hadn't done before. And I just had this confidence boost. So I'm going to the personal branding business side of things. Basically, that made health and fitness my passion. And I decided that the business I was going to start was I was going to become a personal trainer.
Yeah.
So, you know, fortunately very blessed, instead of going to university and college, because we all know it's an absolute rip off. It costs way too much, right? It's just anybody.
It all depends on what you're going for.
I just think anybody who pays is crazy personally, but like 30, 40, 50K, whatever it is, right? So I wasn't going, right? So I asked my father, I said, look, I really want to be a personal trainer, but I want to get a course. How can I do it? So my father said to me, he was like, okay, if I get, I'll pay for your course, which, you know, I'm very grateful for, very blessed. He paid for the course for me to do. So I did that course. It was like 6 months. I became qualified. Now, in this period of time, I was posting health and fitness content on Instagram and grow my following. And I was almost at about 25, about 30-ish K now. So I became qualified. And it was actually good. I don't think you have it in the US, but over here we have like, it's a place called DW Sports.
No, we don't have that.
It's just basically just a sports shop with like a gym in there, a pool, all that type of thing, right? So
it's a sports store combined with a gym.
Yeah, kind of in thing, certain right? locations, they have a gym and a store together. Well, anyway, it was this particular location where they had like, you know, a pool, a gym, everything. So I was going to actually go to work there as a personal trainer on the floor. So I went there to see what it was all about and, you know, see if I liked it before I made the move. And I met this guy and his name's Luke, I think. So he was like giving me the walkthrough of it all. And I asked him, I said, look, you know, obviously it costs, right? I was like, it costs money for you to be a trainer and use your gym. He was like, yeah, that's about £400 a month, which is about $500-ish a month. Yeah. So you got to think, I'm 17 years old, right? I've never sold a thing in my life. I've never had anybody pay me any bit of money at all. And I've got this guy telling me that if I want to work there, then I've got to pay $500 rent every month, right? Mm-hmm. Now you got to think, when you're just 17, you've never sold a thing in your life before. You do not think anybody would pay you $10 for an hour training session. Seriously, you
undervalue yourself. Exactly.
So I got my phone out when he said this, right? And I was thinking to myself, like, I've got to make just $500 to pay the rent. I don't even get to take anything home from this, all right? So I start like I had in and up, and I was like, for me to live the lifestyle that I wanted, I'd have to be making about $2,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, Luke said to charge about 30, say $40-ish per hour. So I was doing the math and I was like, I didn't even know what it came out to, how many sessions, but it was like crazy amount, all right? Crazy amount of sessions. And I said to him, I was like, how am I supposed to get these people to pay me for these sessions? And he was like, well, you just got to get good at selling, all right? So I was like, I gotta get good at selling.
Doesn't help that much.
Yeah, no, I was like, I gotta get good at selling. I was like, okay. I said, I don't really know how I'm gonna do that. And he was like, it just comes to
practice. Yes.
All right. So I was like, okay. And then he went, look, how about this? Now I was just there just for like an introduction to see what it was like. He said, how about this? He said, come with me. So I get off the chair and he walks me into the gym. And I'm in this gym and I'm looking at all these people training. You've got like teenagers, you've got like people in their 80s, you've got middle-aged women, middle-aged guys, you've got pregnant women, right? Such a complete variety of different people. And he said this to me, do you see those two girls over there? I was like, yeah. He went, go over there and sell your personal training to them. So I was looking at him like, oh, like I was trying to get out of it. And I was like, you know, maybe we shouldn't, like, it's all like there's no need for it. Like, let's just go, like, carry on talking about this. So I was like, you know, I honestly never sold anything in my life. I didn't even know what selling was. And I go over there and, you know, ask them if they want a personal training session. So I was like, sure, okay. So I walk over and I can't remember exactly what I said, but all I know is that it was awful. And I just said something like, I looked at the two women and I was stuttering in my voice. I was not confident at all. And I was just like, this is what I was like. I was like, I see like you're squatting, like you're training legs. I was like, do you need a personal training? That's literally all I said. I was like, do you need a personal training session? And they looked at me, they were like, no. I was like, oh, okay. I turned around and I walked off. And I went back to him and I said, I was like, I don't know what happened. And he was like, what did they say to you? I was like, they just said like that it's not the right time for them now. And he was like, oh, that's not too bad. And I was like, yeah. So we walked back to the like reception and we finished it all up. And I got in the car with my father and he asked me, he was like, how was it? I was like, oh, it was really hard. And I was like going through the pros and cons. Turned out I was like, there ain't no way I'm going to be able to do it. So I threw that out the window. And then really? I happened to stumble this exact night, I happened to stumble across a YouTube video. And this YouTube video, I don't know by who, but it was talking about how you can make money from Instagram by selling products, courses, coaching, stuff like that. So I was putting like A and B together. I was like, I'm a qualified personal trainer. I've got a following on Instagram. So why not start selling something on Instagram? So as you've probably seen, you see all these cliche fitness influencers, like buy my ebook, buy my, you know, my chest guide and all this type of thing. I was one of those people in January this year. I was one of those people, right? So I was kind of like, oh, okay, well, everybody's doing this and then I will, right? But there was one thing that I had over most people. Most people aren't actually personal trainers. Right, they just said,
but you took the course.
But I was actually a qualified personal trainer. Right, most people just sell these fitness plans, but they're not actually qualified to actually do so. But I actually was. So I was like, let's just leverage this. So I did. I had such an engaged following. I'm talking photos with, you know, 30k followers, 9.5k likes, like 400, 500 comments. Like I got some photos with like 2,500 saves, just like I've got some photos on my feed when I was doing health and fitness that were real bangers, and I was like I even got up to having about 15k story views.
That's ridiculous.
Off like a 40-ish thousand following. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was.
That's really, really good engagement.
It was something like, you know, I'd get days with like 6K, but then I had this one day where it was like 12, 15K. It was like crazy, right? And So I was like, I'm going to leverage this. So I put a like a muscle hypertrophy, and if you don't know what that is, it's just muscle growth.
Muscle growth,
bodybuilding type of plan. I started selling it. And now I had a website done, everything. And then the first month, didn't make crazy amounts, but I made about $500, which is like £400, right? But that was crazy to me because I'd never made any bit of money in my life other than like spare change off my parents for like hoovering my room or something, right? So that was like, wow, like this is insane.
It just showed you the possibilities that are out there.
Right? At the end of January, I actually took a course, and if you're into business, you probably know him because right now I got to give the boy his dues. He's killing it. But I actually seen Iman Gaji's Influencer Ignited 1.0 course.
Yeah, the first one.
So I went downstairs again to my father and I said, I've seen this course and he teaches people how to actually make money from the following that they've built. And I was like, I've got 30K, Dad. I was like, come on, surely I can do something from this. I've made 400 from this plan. So he said to me, he was like, I think it was like $997 or whatever it was. And he said to me that he was like, I'll buy for you, but as long as you pay me back on a monthly basis. So I was like, okay, right, cool. So that's what I did. I went ahead and did it. You know, in the course, he taught like how to set up your coaching, stuff like that. I didn't really take action on it that much, or to be straight, didn't really take action on it. Now, this is January, February this year. Didn't take action on it. Closed a few coaching students. The course is really good, by the way. It's just I didn't really apply it. Closed a few coaching students, you know, made a couple hundred extra a month, blah, blah, blah. Now, if I'm being honest with you all, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm balling or any of this, right? Because from January till about October, I did basically nothing.
Really?
Facts. But basically nothing. I had all this knowledge on how to get coaching students, on how to sell products, but I was just really lazy with it. I just did nothing. Like, I would literally make like 300 a month, and I would just use that to buy whatever I wanted. That's all I did for since about February till about October. Now,
so what clicked that made that flipped the switch? Like, what? Like, because you were so passionate about going to the gym, you were really into it, and you had that diligence and the hard work. So, what flipped the switch to change it from your old behavior with business to what it is now?
So, what happened was I was doing this health and fitness type of thing, and coaching stuff like that. I went to New York. This is only a few months back now, because we're in December right now. It's only a few months back. I went to Orlando, Florida, and I went to New York with my like parents and brothers. And while I was out in Orlando, I actually closed a few coaching students. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Made a couple more hundred, whatever. And we were in this 5-star hotel, Hilton Bonnet Creek. And we had this like massive room because my father's a 6-figure earner. So we had this nice room. It was huge. Like it was like one big room over there, one big room over there, one in the middle with like a massive table, stuff like that. And I was like walking through the room. And you know, when you walk through like a luxury type of place and you're looking at it and you're like, wow, like I would like to live this like on a daily basis. Like,
yes. Yeah.
I was like walking through it and I was like, this is beautiful. And I looked outside the window and it was a massive pool. I was like, this is gorgeous. So I started working then on like a funnel and stuff like that. When I came back, I instantly started slacking again. Right. Now, I don't know why. I don't know if it was just maybe lack of confidence in my ability, maybe just my social circle, my area. I don't know what it was, but I started slacking again.
Yeah.
And I actually came across this girl while I was in Orlando. She DM'd me and I was talking to her. I liked her. She was cool. I came back to the UK and she was from England, which is, you know, it's in the UK as well.
Not that far.
It's not that far. She was about 3-hour drive away in like the car, right?
And, I drove from London to, I guess it was Ross Niagara. Yeah. It's not that far.
It's not too bad, right? So anyway, I was talking to her while I was in Orlando, while I was in New York and all of this, right? And I come back and I continue talking to her. And if you're a guy, right, and you've had any encounter with a girl, right, the first thing you want to do is come across like you're broke, right? So she said to me, she was like...
I know where this is going.
Yeah, she said to me, she was like, so I'm moving back to Australia, right? Because she was originally from Australia. She's like, I'm moving back to Australia. Now, when I say, like, I actually like this girl, I like this girl. So she was like, I'm moving back to Australia, but I want to come see you. So can I come over to Cardiff, which is the city of Wales, the capital?
Yeah.
She's like, can I come over to Wales and, like, go out, we'll go for food and stuff like that? So I was like, yeah, sure. But I had about £50 in my account, which is like $70. That's all I had in my account, right? With like payments to go out as well. So I had like basically nothing. Now, you're not going to say no, right? You're not going to say no to this girl that you're trying to impress, right?
Yeah,
so,
of course not.
So I was like, sure. And then she went, oh, actually, could you come over to me first? And then a couple of days later, then I'll come over to you. So now I'm thinking to myself, right, okay. So it's gone from, I've got to pay for one meal and one, like, you know, train ticket and one this and one that. So now I've got to go pay for another meal. And I was like, basically, the price that I thought I would have to pay, I had to double it. All right.
Double it. Yeah.
But now I've got a big mouth. And when I try to impress people, I can sometimes go off the hook a little bit and start talking some shit that I can't back up. All right. So I ended up saying to this girl, right now, anybody who's listening, they know why, all right? But I ended up saying to the girl, I was like, okay, so when you come over here, how about I book a suite? I opened my mouth. But I thought she said she was going back to Australia, right? And I thought, I've only got one opportunity there, right?
Like you're never going to see.
No. And when I say this girl is fine, like, Eric, she's fine, right? And I was like, I've only got one opportunity to get to make my move. So I was like, I'm just gonna say it. Like, so I was like, okay, I can get like a suite or whatever it was. And she was like, oh, really? Like, you do that, blah, blah, blah. It's like 100% of course I will. So she's like, yeah, cool. So we set up the day now for me to go over there, and we set up the day for her to come over in Wales.
And, yeah.
I priced it all up, right? So I needed to make something between like 400 and 600 pounds, that is, right?
Yeah.
In 7 days. Bear in mind, I just spent the past couple of months doing basically zero, right? And I was like,
yeah.
You know, this is the moment when your back is completely against the ball and you've the wall, sorry, and you've got to pull something out of the bag, right?
So I've been there, yeah, been there.
So you just got to pull something out, like. So I started going through the Sam Evans Consultant Accelerator. One of my friends, like, you know. Don't tell Sam, like, but you know, it sent me like a Google Drive type of thing with the like course and the scripts on and all this stuff. So I was like,
yeah,
click the drive. I was like, I'm gonna go through this. I'm gonna learn as much as I can because Sam Evans' sales game's on another level. So I was like, so if there's anybody I need to learn from, it's gonna be Sam. So I was going through the scripts, learning them, and I started applying on that very night. In the 7 days, I actually made something in between the lines of like £450, which is like $550, $600, right? So I hit what I needed to hit, right? I went for the first, like, you know, dinner with her, everything like that, got my train ticket up, we had food, blah, blah, blah. I ended up actually asking her, we got into a relationship, all this type of stuff, right? I came back to Wales, and then I was like, okay, so I've got one day, and then I've got to go. Then she's coming back to Wales, and then we're going to stay in this hotel. Now,
and you got
to
get more.
I've got to get more. So she said to me then, she was like, you know, I'm not going to tell my parents and all this type of thing, but just book it anyway. So I was like, okay. So this night now, boom, I clicked the button, I book it. It was like £250 for the night. Don't know, that's like $320-ish. I was like, boom, it's booked. The hotel's booked. I was like, right, now, boom. Now I've just got to make X amount just so I can pay for food and, you know, if I wanted to buy clothes or whatever. I ended up making maybe like another 50 to 100 that day. So I had enough to pay for it quite comfortably. So,
yeah,
you know, she came, we had dinner, she met my parents, you know, we'd done our business. It was like, it was a decent night. It was a decent night. Anyway, she went back to England, I went back to Wales. But that was the moment for me where it was like, I went, you know, when your back is against the wall and I had to pull something out of the bag. I said that I was going to book a hotel, right, when I shouldn't have said I was going to because I didn't have no footing to say so. But I managed to pull something out of the bag and do it, right? Since that day, I have not lost motivation. And now I've gone on to do 2,000 weeks. I've gone from charging £97 an hour to up to even 297. Someone just paid 297 last week, which is about $350 an hour. So in the past, like, you know, month, 2 months, I've completely skyrocketed the amount I make every single month, from pretty much making zero, like maybe like a couple hundred, to now up to anywhere between £3,000 and £4,000 pounds a month.
Progress.
Lots
of progress.
Now I know that I'm at a point with my sales game and my brand that I could probably hit six figures from coaching. The reason why I haven't hit that yet is because I'm putting all my attention right now on the long game. So I like to call something the short game, the long game. The short game is you're out there, you're getting quick cash. You need cash, so you're getting those 1 hour calls in, you're coaching people for 1 hour, you're getting that $100, $200, $300, $400. That's the hustle, that's the grind, that's to get your quick cash, that's the short game. The long game is you put systems and funnels in place that pretty much prints money for you, right? Generates income in the long term. So I've kind of like, I'm cruising at between $3,000 and $4,000 a month, but I'm putting most of my hours of the day and most of my energy on my funnels and stuff, just so going into 2019 and throughout 2019, I can scale to six figures and more, much easier with, you know, I guess you could say half the time.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm currently doing right now.
Okay. What kind of opportunities would you say you've gotten from your brand so far? Because you have a big following. Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of important people that follow you. So what kind of opportunities have you gotten, whether it's like a business opportunity?
I would say I probably had more when I was into fitness than business, mainly because I took my Instagram game a lot more serious when I was in the health and fitness than the business. So there's two things, right? You can take your Instagram game serious in terms of growing your following, or you can take it serious in terms of gaining authority and selling. Right now, I take it serious in terms of gaining authority and selling and providing value. Back when I was doing health and fitness, all I cared about was the following. When I cared about the following, I had opportunities from modeling agencies in London. I actually was in contact. I never went forward with it, but I had two-time management from LA message me, DM'd me, asking me for shots and stuff like that for me to go out there and sign with them. I was sponsorship with, do you know BPI Sports?
The supplement brand.
Yeah, right? The BPI Sports. I'd done, do you know, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, Tyrock watches.
I've never heard of
them. They kind of compete with MVMT. I was sponsored by them for a little bit. So I've had a lot of like sponsorship type of deals type of thing. I really fuck with them personally, but I did have a lot of them. In terms of the business side of things, opportunity wise, the biggest thing I can say is I've just managed to provide a lot more value. I have a lot more DMs of people saying like, wow, you've changed my life. Wow, you've helped me with that. Mm-hmm. You know, tell me more. And my social circles improved drastically. Yeah. Now I've got one business partner doing 9K a month. He's 17. One just bought his new Audi, in cash at 17 years old. The other one, he's a great copywriter, incredible copywriter, gone through like Jason Capital's copywriting course, stuff like that. He's doing a couple K a month. So my social circles improved drastically. And opportunity wise, it's kind of like I've created more opportunity for myself. Like I'm going to Marbella for a month in July. So yeah, I mean, if you're looking for sponsorship, kind of like deals, partnerships, better social circle, providing a ton of value, you know, generating income, building your personal brand is probably the best business model to do so, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And how can you seem attractive? So say somebody's in a kind of space where they want to get sponsorships, what can they do to seem more attractive to these big brands to want to sponsor them?
Find out what the brand's all about. Find out the demand the brand has, and you become the supply. It's just as simple as that. So it's you find out what the brand wants and you supply it.
So what kind of steps can somebody take to, you know, begin building their brand? So they're starting off square one, maybe they have a few hundred followers, just close friends and family. What steps can they start taking right now to gain their following and gain authority?
Okay. So my coaching, my courses, membership groups, they're all about turning someone's name into a business by using their current knowledge. Now, what I mean by that is this. Everybody in the world has something they're either passionate about. They either have a hobby, something they enjoy doing, or something they have an interest in. Now, if my passion was fitness and I go to the gym on a daily basis, then I'm going to gain a foundation of knowledge. If your interest is cooking or fashion or art, whatever it may be, and you like doing it, you like learning about it, then you will gain knowledge in that area. So step number one is identify what you actually enjoy doing. When you know what that is, you know that you have knowledge in that area. Now, you can sell knowledge. Right. That's what I sell. That's what personal trainers sell. Right. That's what pretty much everybody sells is knowledge. Right. So you identify where you have your knowledge. Step two, you go ahead and you find your niche. But I like to call it this character set niche. Right. Character set statement. Now, when I say set, Imagine you are the main character of your life. You are a character, right? You need to find your set where you as a person belongs. Do you belong in either health and fitness, in art, in fashion, in fitness, in music? You need to understand where you belong. When you know where you belong, you simply go on Instagram or YouTube or Facebook and you start putting content out around your area of knowledge. So if you're really good at fitness, you just start putting content out about fitness. If you're really knowledgeable in art, start putting content out in art.
And what kind of content should somebody be putting out? So should it be a lot of visual or video? How can somebody get across that they're an authority figure?
People overcomplicate. Do you put an image out? Do you put a video? Just if it's valuable, post it.
And then how can, say we're going caption wise, say we're talking Instagram, how can somebody, you know, provide value and show that they are somebody that deserves to be listened to?
Yeah. Think of a problem. If you're a straight beginner, like complete straight beginner, you've never done anything, never posted anything. The simplest way to post your first Instagram photo, video, whatever it may be, is think of a problem you had in your area of, you know, knowledge, and write a caption that solves it. So, for example, when I was in the health and fitness area, a big thing that I had a problem with was, the stopping and starting. So I did was I just created a caption on how I escaped that vicious cycle.
Makes sense. So just retrace what kind of problems you had to solve. So then in that case, it kind of almost helps to have a bumpy road in the beginning, right? Kind of like how you did when it comes to fitness.
What happens then is, you know, the way the algorithms and stuff work is if you post a fitness photo, Instagram is going to take that fitness photo and put it in front of other people who are interested in fitness, right? So you just need to keep putting content out in your area that you've chosen. That's Instagram and YouTube and all these other platforms are going to put that content out in front of people who want to see it. Then you're going to build an audience.
Yeah. Well, hey man, that was really good. I like your story. I liked the kind of advice you gave. I really liked your story just from beginning to right now. Where can people connect with you so they can follow you along, like what you're doing for 2019?
Okay. So probably the best place right now to look at my stuff, drop me a DM if you've got any questions, you know, check my story, all that good stuff, is Instagram. That's at @MatthewJPhillips_. That's my Instagram. I have a YouTube channel coming out in January. That'll probably just be called Matthew J. Phillips. My Facebook, Matthew J. Phillips. But Instagram's probably, well, it is the best place to, connect with me at the moment.
Okay. And then any final words, like you just had to give one piece of advice to somebody, it can be kind of universal, whether it's just business or if it has to do with confidence or fitness or personal branding, any just one piece of advice that, you know, sticks out to you that you'd give to somebody.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I would say in terms of, I'll give two. In terms of personal, just being personal, I would just say, you know, you just do you. Just do you. If somebody says, you know, that's shitty, you shouldn't do that, you can't do that, people around you don't do stuff like that, you can't be a millionaire, you can't make 10 figures, you can't have a Lambo, you can't buy your parents a home, you can't do this, you can't do that, you just say fuck them and just do you, all right? That's number one. Yeah. Number two is if you ain't building your personal brand in 2019, I feel sorry for
you're
you.
Losing.
I just feel for you. If you, 2019, right, you've heard it at first, 2018 was the year of social media marketing. 2019 is the year of personal branding. If you are not building a personal brand, you are, there's something not right with it, right? 2019, turn your name into a business.
And I'll have everybody hit you up if they need help with that. His link to his Instagram is going to be down in the description. Maybe put a link to your Facebook too. Do you have your YouTube channel created already? I can put that down there too.
Yeah. You can put the link down to that as well.
All right. Yeah, I'll find that. All right. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.